Okay, so get this.
Uh-huh.
Imagine being accused of a serious crime,
Okay.
but you genuinely can't remember doing it.
Oh, wow.
Not amnesia,
Right.
not faking it,
Yeah.
but your brain literally checked out during the event.
That's wild.
That's the heart of People v. Newton.
Really pushes the boundaries of criminal law.
It does.
This case brings together a very specific political context with these deep questions about intent and responsibility.
You're telling me
Yeah.
it's 1967 Oakland, California.
Right?
Huey P. Newton, co-founder of the Black Panther Party, is involved in a traffic stop that turns deadly.
Oh.
Officer Frey is killed, another officer is wounded, and Newton himself is shot.
Okay.
But here's the twist.
Yeah.
Newton claims he was unconscious after being shot in the stomach due to something called a reflex shock reaction.
And that's what makes People v. Newton so fascinating.
Right.
It hinges on this idea that your body can sometimes act without your mind fully being there. We have excerpts from the actual legal case, People v. Newton. Unconsciousness as a complete defense,
Okay.
and a legal brief that breaks down the arguments and significance.
So we're not just rehashing history here.
No.
We're going to unpack how unconsciousness actually became a legal defense,
Right.
what it really means,
Yes.
and the ripple effects this case had on criminal law.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's a story with a lot of layers
Okay.
to really understand it.
Yeah.
We need to start by visualizing that night in Oakland.
Okay.
Multiple witnesses, conflicting accounts.
Huh?
It was pure chaos.
Got it.
And in the midst of all that,
Yeah.
you have this crucial question.
What's that?
Was Newton acting with intent, or was his body simply reacting on autopilot?
Hold on, autopilot. Is
Yeah.
that a legal term?
Not exactly,
Okay.
but it helps illustrate the concept.
Got it.
Reflex shock is a real medical phenomena, and the defense argued that it rendered Newton unconscious during the shooting.
So that brings up the whole question of unconsciousness versus something like diminished capacity, right? I
Exactly.
know we often hear about that in cases involving temporary insanity.
That's right, and that's where things get really interesting for the legal minds out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Diminished capacity might reduce your culpability.
Okay.
Maybe leading to a conviction for manslaughter instead of murder.
Right.
But unconsciousness, if proven, is a complete defense.
Whoa.
You're essentially saying, my body did it, but I wasn't in control.
So it's a much higher bar to clear.
Exactly.
You're not just saying you weren't thinking straight,
Right.
you're saying you weren't there at all.
Precisely.
Wow.
And the court's decision in Newton really hammered this distinction home. And it set a precedent for how similar cases are argued even today.
Now, I find it pretty shocking that the original trial didn't even mention unconsciousness as a possible defense to the jury.
Right.
How is that even possible?
That's where the idea of sua sponte comes in.
Sua sponte.
Yeah, it essentially means that the judge has a duty to instruct the jury on all relevant legal defenses if there's evidence to support them.
Oh, wow.
Even if the defense attorney doesn't bring it up.
So it's like the judge saying,
Yeah.
hold on, there's another piece of the puzzle here that the jury needs to consider.
Exactly. This case made sure that juries would have all the information needed to make a truly informed decision, which is a pretty big deal.
It is.
Imagine a valid defense being completely overlooked simply because the judge didn't mention it.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see why this case is considered such a landmark decision.
It really is.
It's not just about the facts of the case itself. It's about ensuring a fair process for everyone.
Exactly.
And speaking of fairness, this case also tackled allegations of racial discrimination in the jury selection process, didn't it?
It did. This is where the political and social context of the case becomes really important.
True.
Remember, we're in the midst of the civil rights movement, and the Black Panther Party is a major force in that movement.
Yeah.
And Newton argued that there weren't enough Black people on either the grand jury that indicted him or the petit jury that ultimately decided his guilt.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit.
Sure.
For those of us who aren't legal experts, can you explain the difference between a grand jury and a petit jury?
So a grand jury is convened to determine if there's enough evidence to formally accuse someone of a crime. That's called an indictment. A
Right.
petit jury is the one that actually hears all the evidence at trial and determines guilt or innocence.
Got it.
Yeah.
So Newton was challenging the fairness of the whole legal process
Yes.
from the initial indictment to the final verdict.
Right.
He was essentially arguing that the system was stacked against him because of his race.
That's right.
And this argument raises some really fundamental questions about the American justice system.
It does.
The Constitution doesn't guarantee proportional representation on juries, but it does demand that the selection process be free from discrimination.
Exactly.
So it's not about having a specific number of jurors from certain backgrounds,
right,
but about ensuring that the system for choosing those jurors isn't biased against anyone.
That's up.
Okay, so in Newton's case, the court really had to scrutinize the way both the grand and petit juries were selected.
They did.
What did they find?
Well, they found that there wasn't sufficient evidence to prove intentional discrimination in the grand jury selection.
Okay.
However, they did acknowledge disparities in the racial makeup of the petit jury, which had been drawn from voter registration rolls at the time.
So this is where the issue of systemic bias comes in.
Yeah.
Even if there's no deliberate attempt to exclude certain groups.
Right.
The system itself might be set up in a way that produces unfair results.
That's a key takeaway from this case.
Yeah.
The court essentially said that just because a jury doesn't perfectly reflect the demographics of the community,
right,
it doesn't automatically mean there's a constitutional violation.
Okay.
But it does raise important questions about how juries are formed and whether the process truly ensures a fair cross-section of the community. We still grapple with these issues today.
Wow. It's a sobering reminder that justice isn't just about the laws on the books,
right,
but about who gets to apply those laws and whether everyone has equal access to a fair trial.
Absolutely. And it makes you think, even though Newton's conviction was overturned on that unconsciousness issue,
right,
this whole jury selection debate adds another layer of complexity to the case.
It does.
It shows how intertwined legal issues are with social realities.
It really highlights those ongoing struggles for racial justice within the legal system.
Yeah.
This case from the 1960s is still relevant today.
It really is.
It makes me wonder, are there other cases where this defense of unconsciousness played a major role?
You bet.
Really?
One that comes to mind is the case of Kenneth Parks.
Okay.
A Canadian man who drove 14 miles to his in-law's house in 1987 and killed his mother-in-law while he was sleepwalking.
Wait, you're telling me sleepwalking can be a legal defense?
Yeah.
That sounds wild.
It might sound unbelievable, but there's a growing body of scientific evidence to support the existence of automatism.
Automatism.
Yeah, which essentially means acting without conscious awareness.
Oh, wow.
Sleepwalking falls under that umbrella.
So in Park's case, he was claiming that he wasn't in control of his actions when he committed the murder.
Exactly. And the jury believed him.
Whoa.
He was acquitted, meaning they found him not criminally responsible due to his sleepwalking state.
That's incredible. It shows just how far-reaching the precedent set in People v. Newton has been.
It really has.
It opened the door for courts to seriously consider these types of defenses, even if they seem unusual or even unbelievable at first glance.
It really speaks to the idea that the law needs to be flexible enough to accommodate new scientific understandings of human behavior and the complexities of the human mind.
Right.
As we learn more about things like sleepwalking or how trauma can affect the brain, the courts need to adapt.
It's not always as simple as saying you did the crime, you do the time.
Nope.
Sometimes the question of intent, awareness, and control is much more nuanced than that.
It is.
People v. Newton forced us to confront those nuances.
Precisely. And as our understanding of neuroscience and psychology continues to evolve, I think we can expect to see even more cases challenging our traditional notions of criminal responsibility.
Makes you wonder what other seemingly impossible defenses might gain traction in the future as we learn more about the brain and how it works.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll need to revisit our legal definitions of intent and responsibility as science advances.
It's definitely something to think about, and it shows how the law is constantly evolving, always trying to keep pace with our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
This deep dive into People v. Newton has given us so much to consider.
A lot to think about.
It's a case that's historically significant, legally groundbreaking, and still surprisingly relevant to the conversations we're having today.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that the law isn't just some dusty old set of rules.
Yeah.
It's a living, breathing system that reflects our values and our understanding of the world. And sometimes it takes a case like People v. Newton to push us forward.
Right.
To make us question our assumptions and refine our definitions of justice.
Yeah, it really underscores how a single legal case can ripple outward.
It can.
Impacting not just legal precedent, but also the way we think about justice and responsibility.
It really does.
Who knew a 1967 traffic stop could raise so many questions that are still relevant today?
A amazing, isn't it? It's a testament to the power of a legal argument.
Yeah.
Especially when it's backed by solid evidence.
Right.
People v. Newton shows us that even a seemingly straightforward case can have all these layers of complexity, these hidden arguments waiting to be unearthed.
Right.
It takes a skilled legal team to really dig into those nuances.
It's like those true crime podcasts where the smallest detail ends up changing the whole trajectory of the investigation. So if someone is listening to this thinking, okay, this is interesting, but how does this affect me? Alec, what would you say?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I'd say People v. Newton is a reminder that the law isn't just some abstract thing that exists in textbooks and courtrooms.
Right.
It directly impacts all our lives, our freedoms, even our understanding of what it means to be a responsible citizen.
Okay.
We all have a stake in this system.
And it's constantly evolving. We've seen that with the whole unconsciousness defense gaining traction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes you wonder what our legal system will look like 50 years from now.
It's an interesting thought, isn't it?
It is.
Cases like People v. Newton can spark those conversations.
Yeah.
Those tough questions about what we expect from our legal system and how we ensure it lives up to its ideals.
Uh-huh.
We don't have all the answers, but these cases illuminate the path forward.
Well said. So as we wrap up our deep dive, is there a final takeaway?
I think there is.
A sort of Newton's law, if you will, that you want our listeners to remember.
I think it comes down to this.
Okay.
Never underestimate the power of a well-constructed legal argument grounded in solid evidence.
Right.
People v. Newton demonstrates that even in seemingly straightforward cases, there can be layers of complexity and nuance waiting to be discovered.
Right.
It's those subtle arguments that can sometimes make all the difference.
It's a constant process of discovery, debate, and ultimately the evolution of our legal system.
Absolutely well put.
To our listeners, we say this: keep your minds open, stay curious, and never stop questioning those assumptions we make about justice and the law.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And remember, as People v. Newton demonstrates, the pursuit of justice requires constant vigilance, critical thinking, and a willingness to challenge the status quo.
Those are great words to end on. That's a wrap on this deep dive into People v. Newton. Mm. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep exploring the fascinating world of law, history, and the human stories that shape them both.